It's showtime. What up? It's old Kenny here with you for a brand new episode of the Kenny Hove Show. How are you? I hope all is well. If I sound tired, if I sound delirious, you got a good ear on you, bud. I most definitely am. My goodness, how does anyone do this? Working full time. I mean, I guess I've done full time before, but though most of those jobs were pretty laid back, at least compared to this one. Oh my god. Let's put it this way. I've had jobs before where there's been nothing to do and guys have fallen asleep on the job. I haven't gotten there yet because, I don't know, I like to show up and actually try to, you know, earn my money, try to work for my money, and I'm not trying to say I'm always working, but I try to keep myself busy for the most part. But, you know, I'm not against, you know, having a seat or, you know, if I have to stand or lean against a wall or something like that here and there. The way I look at it, so long as I'm awake, there's a chance I'll be doing some work, you know, at least the boss is not completely getting shafted paying for someone to catch a couple Z's, right? I'm not better than really anybody at all that much, but I've got half a leg up on some of these guys. Simply by saving sleep for when I'm in my own home on my own time. But we've gone over it already. This job is rough. Always working, always need to be on. And now I know why there aren't happy people in this world, or at least very few happy people in this world, because if most people, and I doubt most people, I mean, people have like cushy desk jobs and stuff, right? But even with the cushy desk jobs, if it's 8 hours a day, that's 8 hours of like prime time, right? Think about it, there's 24 hours in a day. If you get 8 hours in, you're up for what, like 14 hours, and I don't know about everybody's commute, but here in Toronto, basically anywhere you want to go, it's actually almost, I don't want to use the word magical, but like more like mysterious, where it seems like anywhere you want to go in the city, it's 1 hour. Doesn't matter if it's, now I don't know like distance and stuff, but let's say whether it's 2 kilometers or like 6 kilometers, it just seems like it's the same travel time. And what it boils down to, now that I think of it, is if it's in the subway, usually that's just distance. And wait times. Wait times is a bitch. Whether you're on the surface or in the subway, you're always waiting for these buses and trains and such. And then, of course, traffic is also a bitch in Toronto, and it's not getting any better. So the point I'm trying to make is, most people's commutes, I feel like, in the city is like an hour each way, so 2 hours per day. And if you have an 8 hour work shift, there goes 10 hours of your day. And as I established earlier, you're only awake for 14 hours. So what, you got 4 hours left to yourself? No wonder people are miserable. I've always wondered, why are people so shitty? Why is everybody so crabby? And I'm sure there's tons of reasons why. You know, like they're born ugly and such, so they didn't get the loving they wanted when growing up. Not from their mothers, not from the girls in the high school, and not from girls in college, if they made it to college, because they're a bunch of dumb redneck whatevers, you know. Once again, you don't have to be white to be a redneck. You could be a black redneck. You could be a brown redneck. You can be an Asian redneck. I mean, we don't consider those guys people, but, you know, you could be one technically. And in 2021, we'd have to suck it up and grit our teeth and go, yeah, those hicks are people. I mean, if you're lucky, you've got 4 hours to yourself. No wonder nobody listens to The Kenny Ho Show. I probably wouldn't listen to The Kenny Ho Show if I've only got 4 hours in my day and I gotta choose between listening to a podcast or doing literally anything else. The latter might just win out. If I've got the choice between listening to a brand new episode of any podcast from anybody, which all could be hit or miss, or go for the sure thing and watch The Professionals starring Natalie Portman for the umpteenth time, knowing that it's a riveting good time and one of the most fabulously made movies of all time, you know what I'm going for. No wonder we're a society that's so caught up in celebrities and the idolatry of celebrities. It's because they've become a necessity. Entertainment is a huge, huge necessity. Escapism from our horrible, terrible realities has become something that is so necessary in order to survive. We suckle at the teat of celebrity. But here's the thing. We so shouldn't. Why? Because these guys get to live a lavish lifestyle. These guys get to work, quote unquote work. They show up and read a few lines. And a lot of times, if they're good looking themselves, they get to make out with a hot, good looking actress across them. Unlike old Kenny when he was an actor, where they're always like, hey, here's this pig of a woman. Why don't you make out with her? I'm like, I am going to kill all of you and then myself if you insist on me making out with this woman. This quote-unquote woman. If anything, you should hate these celebrities because they live the life that you'll never lead. Read a couple of lines, make a few million dollars, and then go on vacation for half the year, or however long they want, until they're like, yeah, I should probably make a bit more money. I've always wanted a 10th Lamborghini. Why don't I just go and read a few more lines and make out with Selena Gomez and achieve that dream? Achieve yet another dream. Son of a gun, I'm still working on dream number one. Kissing a girl who's not crying because I had to kidnap her entire family and hold them ransom in order to get a little smoochy time with this one. Whereas this rich son of a bitch, oh, I am the vulgar Dr. Zeus, ain't I? Dr. Seuss, I keep saying Zeus, like the badass Greek god. Man, if I had some Zeus juice, you know, looking jacked, great head of hair, and just banging whatever broads he wants, man, I'd be far happier than I am now, I'll tell you that much. I wouldn't be searching Amazon for ropes, you know? This is not a cry for help, but if you see a Kenny Ho Show Patreon up later on the day, it's probably not me. I don't have the energy or the drive and desire to try to figure out how to get a Patreon going. Hey man, some Chinese son of a gun bought the KennyHoShow.com. I do not rule out someone trying to impersonate me in order to make a couple dollars, even though they're stupid because they should know that the actual Kenny Ho is not valued enough for people to fork over any amount of money, let alone more than whatever the hell they paid for the domain. Joke's on you, fool! I'm unlovable! So to recap, life is hard. No wonder people drink. No wonder people do drugs. No wonder some hot girls cut themselves and make them even hotter to weird, messed up dudes like me. Man, it got so bad the other night because I usually joke around at work. Oh, it's been at least 5 or 6 years that I've done this joke with my buddy Big Rob, who got even bigger. This guy, he was telling me, because he got like some factory job, he's like, oh yeah man, all I do is lift thousands of pounds worth of stuff all day. He's like, I got bigger, but it's not fat, I got really muscular. I saw him the other day, I'm like, you and I have a very different understanding of the human anatomy. Then if you think that's muscle, this dude is just round at this point. He's like globe-shaped. Like, if I ever ran into Kyrie Irving and he's like, oh, the world's flat, I'd point to Big Rob and be like, no, the earth is like that. Fat and lying about what their body is made of. But I used to joke with them where at the end of the night, I'd just be like, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. Right now, I've got to go home and cry myself to sleep tonight. Or a variation of, alright, I'll talk to you later. Right now, I'm just going to go to my crying corner and catch up with the old girl, you know? Man, I got so bad the other night. I was saying the same thing. I was like, alright, I'm just going to cry myself to sleep tonight. But then it hit me. I'm like, I'm not even so sure I was joking on that one. But I can't really sit around and think about it, because if I come to the conclusion that life is no longer worth living, Prime has made it too easy to get that rope. So I move on and I self-medicate like everybody else in society and suckle at the teat of stars. Or to an extent, quote-unquote stars. Dancing with the stars, more specifically. And this is, I won't even say guilty pleasure. People, oh, I have guilty pleasures. Who gives a shit? How apologetic are you living your life that you feel guilty for liking what you like? Like, I remember even back in the day, like, when I was in theater school, even, like, the actors who, like, none of them are, like, hip and with it and urban and stuff, yet they're trying to shame me for the stuff I'm listening to. I'm like, what do you guys listen to? Like, some lame-ass folk music or something? Classical music? Almost like classic rock. Classic rock's cool, but these guys are, like, probably, like, listen to Beethoven and Mozart. Or even worse, like, some obscure classical loser jabroni who lost his eyesight and his hearing or something. They're like, oh, this is so inspirational and magical. Let me listen to it and stick my nose up at everybody, even though I actually hate this music and would definitely prefer some sweet-ass Spice Girl jams. But I'm going to make fun of Kenny because he's proud of what he listens to. He just likes what he likes and doesn't give a shit what I think about it. But I'll make him feel bad about it because I'm a horrible white girl who my daddy didn't love me. So I get that love from older men who don't actually love me for me, and probably shouldn't be messing around with a girl my age, especially at his, and the fact that, you know, he has a daughter who's like 2 years younger than me. But whatever, I'm a horrible bitch. I felt a little bad about, you know, a little bit ashamed of, you know, listening to as much pop as I did back then. But I sure as hell don't feel that way now. Dude, I don't give a rat's ass what anybody says or what they think. As far as I'm concerned, things like Hillary Duff music, Taylor Swift, old Taylor Swift, not this new rubbish shit she's singing these days, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Spice Girls, even some of their worst songs are better than 95% of the flipping rubbish that is passed off as music nowadays. How foolish I am, how wrong and silly I am to enjoy songs that have messages that either connect with me, makes me feel better about my situation, or in many cases, when it comes to Hillary Duff, are positive outlook, inspirational, sunny tracks over songs with lyrics that are almost indecipherable, but if you really, really listen hard. It's about treating women as objects. Even the women rappers are talking about themselves as objects and glamorizing gangs, violence, and drug use and like crime, basically. Oh, silly me! What the hell is wrong with me? Man, these people are gonna shut their traps. The youth of this generation are stupid. Most people you meet in this world are stupid. That's why if anybody's got an issue with Dancing with the Stars, I wouldn't even bat an eye. I'm like, well, they're stupid. They don't understand what quality, inspirational entertainment is all about. Because every time I watch this show, I just feel better. It's showbiz. I'm sure behind the scenes, there's all kinds of ugly shit that goes on that you don't want to know about, that you don't want to get involved. I mean, like, look at Cheryl Burke, one of the dancers on the show, one of the instructors. I don't know if she was an alcoholic or she was like a heavy drug user, but I know she went to rehab and such. So, you know, that's the ugly side of that show. But part of the beauty of that show is they don't hide that stuff. They talk about it because it's part of their redemption. It's part of, you know, what they're struggling with. And it adds to kind of the excitement and level of triumph when they get past it. They push through it. They work hard on their craft and they put together their routine. And when they nail it, despite, you know, the whole time probably being like, I could use a drink. I could use a drink. I could snort coke off this hot dancer's ass right now. Man, that really hit the spot, but I can't because it's going to ruin my life. I just got to keep jiving. I just got to keep patabaraying. Hell, if they want me to do the Macarena, I'd do it. Just keep me away from the pipe. And then they see me in the corner because I've given up on trying to like hack it legit and, you know, do regular jobs. I'm sitting there like in an old timey Chinese outfit, you know, with my hair braided and with one of those hats, and I'm holding a pipe and I'm like, you mean this pipe? Aw, you come to Opium Den. Aw, don't worry about what they say. You love it there long time. It's just great. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's like, come on. Stop trying to like come up with a sob story for these people. Just like everybody goes through their shit. Just dance. Because honestly, if I'm on that show and they're like, yeah, could you tell us some sob stories? You know, we listened to that podcast once. Sounds like you got a lot of demons. Could you share that with us? I'd be like, no. Can we just dance? Just look at me. Everybody knows I definitely got some demons. Nobody's sitting there being like, oh, look at that golden boy. He must just have everything swell. Everyone's sitting at home being like, how did that fat shit make it to Dancing with the Stars? And then they realize the term stars on this show is definitely used very liberally. They literally have some dude who's like a Peloton instructor this year. I'm like, the guy's just doing his job. This guy probably just worked at the right gym at the right time. You know, he paid $200 for his instructor fee, and then he was working at the local gym in LA, and he was super gay and flamboyant and did a good job, and like one of the producers on Peloton was like, hey, how would you like to come aboard and do what you do here, but recorded? I'm telling you, that's why I can't sell the Kenny Ho show too short. Because you never know. Like, the standard, clearly, for star has really, really taken a dip. And sure, for them to, like, put me on there, that would be, like, the biggest dip. Like, they shouldn't be making the show anymore if they're putting me on the show, right? They're, well, I don't know why we can't convince any top talent to come on this show anymore. I, too, have no actual talent. I'm only in this position because I'm white and went to college with the right people. I'd like to keep making money hand over fist. Let's just go get people who are technically in showbiz. So we'll get Elizabeth Olsen's husband and Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, this podcast, which is at Point Nine. Oh, shit. It's the guy from the opium den. I owe him 50K. I wonder if he's cool with just coming on the show and calling it evens. And because I'm like an enterprising drug dealer, I'll be like, oh, thought you were alone, huh? Oh, opium Kenny's everywhere. 50,000's a lot of money. Can't just wash it away like that. And then they're like, we'll give you Olivia Jade's number and we'll put in a good word. I'm like, oh, we're in business now. Now come, suckle at the teat. Case in point, speak of the devil. This is one of the main highlights of this season's Dancing with the Stars. Disgraced social media influencer or whatever, Olivia Jade, the daughter of Aunt Becky, is on the show, and she is completely charming. She's actually a very good dancer, and it proves everything I was saying about her and that whole scandal situation. You know, the one where they like must have photoshopped her face onto an actual rowing athlete, or I don't know what she got in for, but they basically faked some credentials for her to get into a good school. And then Aunt Becky ended up going to the slammer for a few months there. Probably, you know, got treated like Agnes's bitch. Or Bertha's bitch. It's hard to know which was worse. Agnes is less big than Bertha. Less masculine. But she's into some real degrading things. Doing degrading things. There's no degrading Agnes. She's a former 15-time Taekwondo Black Belt World Champion. She's in the slammer because she killed about 42 men twice her size in cold blood for calling her a bull dyke, which is unfair to her to begin with because she's not quite bull, but she's also not quite woman. But is it worse than having to be Bertha's bitch? Well, I'll leave it up to you. Although she is bigger and stronger and scarier and meaner, she is one gentle lover. Yeah, she only went to prison because of a crime of passion. She came home early from her job as a plumber one time, only to find her twink girlfriend was cheating on her with a girl that looked like Cara Delevingne. You know, a real delicacy in the lesbian community. In a fit of rage, knowing that she could never compete with a girl like that, she had no idea that her twink of a girlfriend was into anything but a bull dyke like her. But now that the truth was revealed, she knew that she could no longer compete. She looked in the mirror, and though she loved herself, despite her mama not loving her, despite her drunken daddy not loving her, she found a way to love herself. And she thought that this twink also felt the same way. But now she knew that it was all a lie. She could never compete with Cara Delevingne. Her mom was right. You're gross, she used to say. You look like shit. And you lay with women. You'll never amount to anything. And maybe she was right because she had been a plumber for 15 years, but never made the foreman. And so, that day, Bertha Meletatrova killed her first woman, and then her second, and then went on to kill 200 more lion cheating bitches becoming known to the world as the Bull Dyke Serial Killer. Yeah, it happened. I got 3 episodes in a row. I totally forgot I was trying to do that, but somehow it came full circle. 3 in a row, baby. Serial killers, imaginary fake serial killers, worked and streamed and weaved into the Kenny Ho Show narrative somehow. I don't know why I'm talking like I've accomplished something in life, because if you really think about it, not even really think about it, just a moment after it's happened and you take a second to think about it, I've accomplished nothing. Ever! No, I got more stuff to talk about. Not wrapping up just yet. This is the one thing I look forward to doing per week. Well, this and GTA Online. I always look forward to seeing which new car is available for me to potentially win, which I never do. Or what's on sale, because everybody likes a sale. Even millionaire criminals in a fictitious Los Angeles online with fake money loves a goddamn sale. I wasn't done talking about Olivia Jade at all. No, Olivia Jade, I said it before I even saw anything she did. I just looked at a picture of her. I looked at her Instagram once upon a time when all this was happening, and I was like, she's a dang fool. Why did she or her family feel like she needed to get into some prestigious school? Hell, why did she think she needed to go to school at all? What, was she trying to not get into showbiz despite having a YouTube channel since she was like 12 years old or something? It seemed like she was trying to follow in the footsteps of her mom from a pretty early age. Like, did she really think she was going to work, like, in a business office setting and, I don't know, like, pitch ideas for the next fiscal year or whatever these cats do? Yes, I understand that her parents are very wealthy. That doesn't automatically make her very wealthy. But she's hot. She literally has a YouTube channel that is based around makeup and looking good. She knew she looked good. She's a goddamn spitting image of her mother, who, from what I recall, was like some sort of major pageant winner. She wasn't like Miss Backwater or 20 people in our village, and this girl who looks average is considered gorgeous compared to the rest of us who are missing teeth and eyes and ears and such. No, this girl was like a major beauty pageant winner, and to look spitting image of her and you're trying to get into showbiz, you're in a pretty good position, even if her parents cut her off and was like, you have to make your own way in life, just like I did back in the day, using my looks and beautiful body to win a pageant and parlay me a television job where I was known as the hot, sexy girlfriend of that Hunkasaurus Rex, John Stamos, Uncle Jesse. Get into a good school. Do it with your brains. Even though she clearly, I'm talking about the parents now, clearly does not have a fully developed brain between the two of them. If they thought it was a freaking good idea to buy their way into, through illegal means, buy their way into a prestigious school. Like, honestly, it maybe it's different in the States, but here in Canada, here in Toronto, there are kind of like 3 major universities, like accredited legitimate universities. It's York and U of T that are the considered the prestigious schools, and then you have Ryerson, who will take you if you're breathing. I know people who have graduated from all 3 places, and I cannot differentiate who's doing better in life. The people that I know that have graduated from any one of those schools, they're all doing well for themselves. They're all living I was going to say a much more lavish life than me, but that's a low bar. Like, honestly, most high school dropouts are living a more lavish life than me. And I'm not even considered, like, uneducated. I actually have 5 years of post-secondary education. Technically, I'm a well-educated guy. It's just, unfortunately, I'm well-educated in useless shit like acting and podcasting. This girl had it all wrong. You do not need a formal education to be successful in life. Bare minimum, you do not need some prestigious formal education to be successful in life. She cracked the code. She had success and continues to have success as a social media influencer. Jeannie Lee from MXR Plays literally was so smart that she was on her way to medical school to become a doctor. But because she is so smart, she saw that, hey, why am I going to roll the dice doing something that I don't know that I'd like and is completely stressful and could be mentally scarring depending on what I see and what happens on my long career? Or I can just go down this path I've already seen a lot of success for and just continue to be a social media influencer, making thousands of dollars per month. Sure thing. I love doing this. I love playing video games. I love interacting with people on this level. So I'll just keep doing that. And I have to assume that despite being, you know, way more successful than I'll ever even dream of, let alone become, I have to assume Jeannie Lee is small fries compared to Olivia Jade. There was that recent leak, like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago about how much Twitch, the top-end Twitch streamers make. And it's ridiculous. Like, the top 10 guys make like $20 million a year being a Twitch streamer. It's unbelievable. Like, do you know how much of a cruel, heartless piece of shit business person you have to be in order to make $20 million a year? Whereas Olivia Jade is so beautiful, she could have totally, let's say, you know, her content ain't amazing and she's not a $20 million a year person, but just by looks alone and her like charming personality, she's not gonna starve, you know? There's no need for Plan B. I understand Plan B is a good idea to have, but when you're this good looking and this well connected in the business, you don't need a Plan B, especially one that runs the risk of you laying in the same bunk as Bertha, right? But I guess we all make bad decisions. I used to be a golden boy, but I couldn't see it and led myself down a stupid path, and now I'm homely and can't do all that much about that. And I'm glad to see Olivia Jade, despite her not being a personal friend of mine or even knows that I exist. I don't know. Maybe it's because I used to love Aunt Becky so much. I see this person as family for some reason, but I'm just glad she's finally, like, figured it out. Screw trying to get some stupid desk job. I'm hot. Let's get into showbiz and make some real money. She's right where she belongs. She belongs in showbiz. As a good thing about showbiz is, maybe not showbiz, but, like, some of the celebrities is, they are more beautiful than most people you're going to meet. They live lives where, unless they met Harvey Weinstein or that type of situation, there's a chance they can operate in ideals because they are so disassociated with regular life. They can just go see a shrink when they need one. They can go on vacation when they need one. They can go get therapy and you know, massages and all that stuff. They can be the ideal and they can lighten and brighten people's days. And she is very, very charming. She does that for me. Just watching her, like, because she's on TV for maybe like 2-3 minutes on that show per week. But I just like seeing her. I'm definitely not trying to crush on her because I've lived a life of crushing on girls who I inevitably do not end up with. And whereas Cutter Girl was, you know, that I was like halfway there. I just, you know, pushed her away with my anger and pettiness and shittiness. And, you know, her ex-boyfriend was waiting right there. So, that was that. And then there's a few more girls where, you know, I was right in contention for. But none of these celebrity ones will ever come to fruition. You know, we talked about this maybe, you know, half a dozen episodes ago. You know, if you're a good-looking woman, you put yourself in the right situation, there's a chance you'll date your celebrity crush. That's possible, but homely guys like me that are not well connected and are at best only technically in showbiz, it ain't going down. I'm running a little long. You know what? I'm gonna do two episodes today. Don't know when I'm gonna release the second one, but probably within this week. I just wanted to finish off by talking about Dancing with the Stars. As I said, it ain't a guilty pleasure. I don't feel guilty about it. I love this show. I've loved this show. I don't know that it was since day one, but it's been like 15 years? I don't know. I think it's been a while. It's been like maybe 13 years, probably not 15 years. The Brooke Burke season, that was my first season. And I watched, I was so obsessed with this show. Literally, I was supposed to go to the hospital because I had this nosebleed that went on for like 4 or 5 hours. Like, so much blood came out of me, it filled one of those garbage bins. Like, not the ones you have at home, but the ones they have at school, because I was in theater school at the time. I filled it up with blood, and I was supposed to go to the hospital, but I went home instead to watch the season finale of Dancing with the Stars, and then I went to the hospital afterwards. It's a great show. It's positive. Don't get me wrong. At times, it's a little much. It's not a perfect show, but I'm just happy watching it. And I wanted to be on that show so badly. I remember the joke I cracked with my buddy Colin back in the day. My old buddy Colin. I haven't spoken to him since theater school. But we're talking one time. I'm like, we're talking about our dreams. And I was just like, I just want to be on Dancing with the Stars. I just want to be like a second-rate celebrity at my peak and then be washed up and go on Dancing with the Stars, where I'll briefly rejuvenate my career. And then, ideally, OD after having an incredible night with Olivia Jade. My God, what a way to go out. The true Asian-Canadian dream. All right, that's it. That's episode 324 of the coolest podcast ever, The Kenny Ho Show. I hope you had yourself a swell time. I certainly did. And until next time, which is, oh, for me, 5 minutes from now. And oh, for you, probably 3 or 4 days from now. I'll talk to you then. Toodles!